The miraculous deliverance of God is the rule, not the exception.
Amen.
Now, I want you to just think about that for a minute. Is not the Word of God filled with the miraculous deliverance of God for those that were perfect? No. For those that were imperfect. For those that, you know, always made the right decisions, always made the right choices, always had everything just lined up so. No. The one thing they had was their eyes on God. Amen. In the Old Testament, they looked forward to the promise. In the New Testament, they looked to Jesus. And we look to Jesus. And when our eyes are fixed squarely on Him, and our hearts are trusting in Him, then the miraculous is the rule, not the exception. What other religion, but that Christianity, true Christianity isn't a religion. What other philosophy or self-help or any of this other stuff tells you that the miracles are the rule, not the exception? See, they all tell you that you have to be some great, wonderful thing, and they set the bar in this thing to attain that's frankly not attainable, and it's just a philosophy of continuous failure. But Christianity isn't that. You see, God's grace and God's provision is perfect, it's complete, and it's there for anyone that will receive it. Brother Steve said something that was so unbelievably true. You know, not a single person in Corey's situation was really in control of that. It was Corey. See, if you dedicate your life to the Lord, and you give your life to the Lord, then you become His responsibility. And who is greater than God? Who is greater than Him? Who can stand and tell Him, you can't make me do a thing, or you can't... I'm kind of missing the point a little bit, but who is greater than God? I mean, who can stand before Him? Who could... Nobody. Nobody. That's why I keep going back to that fact that the miracle is the rule, not the exception. I can look back at the testimony of my life and see God's hands moving through it and delivering me. You know, you said you know about jail. I mean, who knows? Maybe there was jail time in your thing. I know of one particular incident you could have gone to jail. And God delivered you, and not because you were right,
no.
just pure grace and mercy on you and me. But the miracles of God, they are the rule, not the exception. I just keep going back to that, because that is the kind of God that we serve, because that's the kind of God He is. Everything else out there, the miracles are the exception, not the rule.
Amen.
Who would you rather serve? I mean, what team would you rather be on? Would you rather be on the team where deliverance, mercy, grace is just there? You don't earn it. Not some mechanics you have to perform to get it. It's there. You trust it. You believe it. And then he goes on and says, tell you what, not only am I going to take care of this stuff for you, I'm going to give you life and that more abundantly. You know, his goodness and his mercy is beyond what we can comprehend and understand. That is the Jesus that hung on the cross for us. That is the one that has his hand outstretched. You know, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, those in the world, see, they see that as some sort of exclusivity, some sort of negative, some sort of, you know, oh, it's his way or the highway. That's their mentality. That's where they see it. I paint a different picture because I understand the perspective. You don't understand the highway that you're on if you're not with Christ. The highway that you're on is the one going driving straight off the cliff and you're on a truck with no brakes and your end is destruction. It's certain, it's sure, and there is no way out save Jesus. And he is the only way off that runaway train, runaway bus, runaway truck, whatever it is in your mind that makes sense to you, that there is, I mean, you're on the Titanic and it is going down with all hands and you're going to die. You're in a submarine that has just been torpedoed and it's imploding and you are gone. I want you to understand that without Christ, you are already judged and condemned. That is the state. And Jesus, the only one, innocent, but yet gave his life for you while you were yet sinners. Gave his life for me while I was at my absolute worst. He yet, knowing who I was, knowing what I was, went to the cross anyway and shed his blood and endured all of that. And it actually says for the joy that was set before him, he endured that. Because it was the redemption of all mankind for those that would hear, that would receive, that would actually take his hand. You see, you're on this path of utter and total destruction, and there is no way off. So when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, it's not some exclusive thing like, you know, it's my way or the highway. It's get off where you're at. I have a way out. I have a way of deliverance. You're struggling. You're sick. You're wounded. You're hurt. Guess what? There's healing. There is freedom. There is deliverance, and it is by Jesus. And it's simply saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Forgive me of my sins. I repent. And then the goodness and mercy and love of God just begins to wash over you. Just begins to take away the hurt. Take away the pain. Bind up the wounds. Bring the deliverance. I was thinking, I don't know when, but we have all these kind of new churches popping up all the way in Havasu. These, you know, they're not new. I mean, they're new buildings, these new big church buildings. And, you know, for a town of what we are, with lots of really pretty, fancy churches. Really pretty. But I wonder how much truth there is. Because even when I've talked to those claiming to be Christians and I bring up just faith of trusting God, it's like a foreign concept. And if those that are supposed to know God and supposed to understand faith and supposed to be the light don't have an understanding of faith, then how are those that are destitute and without hope to understand faith. It's remembering testimonies, yours first, and the testimonies of those that you know, and expressing those to people and letting them know the goodness of God in a real way. And telling them about the love of Jesus. You know, I was thinking this morning about the gospel. What is the gospel? It's truth, it's grace, it's mercy. But first, it's truth. In this regard, you know, Jesus always spoke truth. He didn't have a deceptive day in his life. He didn't say an untruth ever. It was all truth continuously. And it was all from what the Holy Spirit had given him, his Father, to speak. And it was all designed to bring glory to God and reconciliation of man to God. And I was looking in my mind, going back through the stories of the scriptures, and thinking of how he interacted with people. You know, those that were without, that were destitute, that were hurt, the Corey and Margies of the world, what did he show them? Unbelievable tenderness and love. He didn't lie to them. He didn't sugarcoat it. He didn't try and, you know, he didn't tell them that the wrong they were doing was okay. But he brought grace and mercy. And I think of the woman at the well. Now, where's your husband? I don't have a husband. Yeah, you're right. Truly, I think you're a prophet. And what happened? He actually... Of all the people to reveal himself as the Messiah, as the chosen one of God, of all the people to reveal that to, he reveals it to a woman at the well who was not virtuous. We'll just leave it there. In the world's eyes. What an amazing story of tenderness and love and grace and mercy. But she, you know, in her testimony, when she was talking to him, she's telling him that, you know, we know Messiah comes. He's going to tell us all things. There was an urgency in her heart to actually know the truth. She knew she didn't know it. You see, the humility of, I don't know the truth, but it's coming. And he revealed the truth to her. Now, conversely, you have the religious. You have those that are supposed to know, that are supposed to have the answers, and they know nothing. And those people, he still brought the gospel. He still brought truth. But it was shaped very, very differently. And he told them, those that have ears to hear, let them hear. And we know that there were some of the religious that did hear. Nicodemus is probably a good example. I hope. We have to be willing to do both. Just speak the truth. Speak the gospel. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Remember the things God's done for you. Remember the testimonies of those that you know, and talk about faith to people. And remember that when you're hung up in a situation, when you're stuck and you don't know what to do, well, you may not know what to do naturally, but we always know what to do. Really, trust God. Put your faith in God. Put your eyes on the Lord. And expect the miracle. Expect the miracle. Because see, walking with God, walking with Jesus, having your eyes and your heart and your mind on Him, the miraculous deliverance is the rule, not the exception. If we can learn to walk in that, and with expectation walk in that, you see, then the power of God begins to really move in our lives. And then when we go and we talk to people, whether they're the woman at the well or whether they're the religious, it won't matter, because the power of God will be brought forth to both. And it will be demonstrated to both. And we'll bring the gospel and the good news to both. And here's the thing that I want myself to remember and you all to remember as well. When you talk about the sower that goes forth to sow the seed, he just sows it. It's not your job to convince anyone. It's not my job to convince anyone. It's just our job to give them the gospel, give them the truth, give them the good news. However the Holy Spirit may bring you to give it, let the Lord sort it out from there. If they hear and receive, praise God. If they reject, praise God, move on. But be ready to bring the good news and bring it with the expectation that God's power is going to be brought forth. Because that's the only thing. That is the only thing that is going to separate you from the other guy. The miraculous testimony to Corey was the manifestation of the power of God in his life to do that which was not doable. Amen. Guess what? It may not be doable in man, but it's certainly doable for God. Amen. That is the difference. That's the difference. You can talk religion and politics and philosophy all day long, and you might actually be right. But if it doesn't have the power of God to back it up, you're no different than the Muslim sitting next to you, or the Jehovah's Witness across the street, or the Mormon to your right, or the Baptist, or the Pentecostal, or the whoever one is it. You're no different. You're absolutely just another mouth flapping in the wind. Unless the power of God confirms the word spoken, you are no different. And you're not going to have that if you don't go in with the expectation of the demonstration of the power of God. Because you go in defeated. If you go into that situation, if you go out when you're going to talk to people and you're already defeated, you got nothing to give. You got nothing to give. You're better off just being quiet. Now, that shouldn't discourage you to not say anything. I mean, it's not designed to go have you run in a box and say, well, I just won't say anything then. No, it's designed to get animated. Say, wait a minute. If God can do it for them, if God will do it for them, then guess what? He'll do it for me too. Is God a respecter of persons? No. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him do what? Ask of God, who holds back to some and gives to the others. Is that what it says?
No.
No. Give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not. See, God's deliverance and mercy and solution and providence was there for Corey all along. The path was already there for a total deliverance for him. He just had to receive it. Receive it. Now the Bible goes on to say, if double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not that man think he shall receive anything from God. It's not that God isn't given it. He physically won't receive it because he can't lock into just having faith in God because his faith is in too many things. But when you lock your faith into the Lord and you rely on his faith to cover any of the inconsistencies of your faith, because we're saved by his faith in the first place, and you learn to doubt your doubts, and you learn to put off that stuff that would turn you away from God. You just say, you know what? I know that's the wrong way. I don't care how I feel. I don't care what my mind is trying to tell me. I know that unbelief is the wrong direction. Been down that road before. It doesn't have a good end. I'm going to stay on this road, the road of faith. The road of trust in Jesus. An expectation of the miraculous. Because that's the goodness of our God. If that wasn't the rule, then why serve him? Really? Why serve him? But the miraculous is the rule. And there's all these scriptures just coming. You know, he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I mean, God is a good God. If he held not back his son, why wouldn't he give us all good things? Bad paraphrase, but the point's made. We serve an awesome God. We're not defeated. We're victorious because he's victorious. If you go out into the world, when you go out of your door and you enter into wherever you're going, if you go in there with the expectation and understanding that you in Christ are victorious and that there is nothing that can stand before him, therefore nothing can stand before you, what is there to fear? Nothing. And then you go in with boldness, not in self-righteousness, not in arrogance, but just the understanding that Jesus is the answer. And for those that will receive it, deliverance, freedom, and eternal life. How awesome is that?